The following is a Holy Name Retreat, Lecture 1, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on November 10th, 2012, in Zhezhmariai, Lithuania.
Actually, we're going to study the Holy Name from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The first lecture will be on Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 1, text 14. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Apana sanskritim goram yanama vivasho grinan tatasa yo vimuchyeta yan bibeti svayam bhayam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately even by unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Vasudeva, or Lord Krishna, the almighty personality of Godhead, is the supreme controller of everything. There is no one in creation who is not afraid of the rage of the Almighty. Great asuras like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, and others, who were very powerful living entities, were all killed by the personality of Godhead. And the Almighty Vasudeva has empowered his name with the powers of his personal self. Everything is related to him, and everything has its identity in him. It is stated herein that the name of Krishna is feared even by fear personified. This indicates that the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. Therefore, the name of Krishna is as powerful as Lord Krishna himself. There is no difference at all. Anyone, therefore, can take advantage of the holy names of Lord Krishna, even in the midst of the greatest dangers. The transcendental name of Krishna, even though uttered unconsciously or by force of circumstances, can help one obtain freedom from the hurdle of birth and death.
Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunitan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine.
So, how powerful is Krishna? Is Krishna in any way weak or impotent? He says, Balang Balabadang Chaham, I am the strength of the strong. Krishna is so amazingly powerful that any of the limbs of his transcendental body are seeing, maintaining, and manifesting all the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. Just think about manifesting even one universe. How powerful that person would be. They say, well, you know, you consider yourself pretty strong. Yeah, I've been working out at the gym. I'm pretty strong. Okay, well, show us your strength. Show us your strength, sir. Manifest a universe right now. You see, in one universe, that's nothing for Krishna. He's manifesting infinite universes. So this gives us some idea of how powerful and strong this person Krishna is. He has absolute control over everything. There's so much grass here growing. Not one blade of grass can move without the sanction of the Lord. Show me any powerful leader of this material world who has that much power. You see? Napoleon or Hitler or Stalin or nobody has that much power, you see. If the blade of grass wants to move, it has to get sanctioned by Krishna to move. That's really, really amazingly powerful, you see. So just imagine if that much power, that much potency was packed into one thing. That would be more powerful than a nuclear bomb. More powerful than a Brahmastra, even. So did you ever think of that? The name of Krishna is more powerful than a Brahmastra weapon. I mean, it's really, really powerful. All the power that exists within all of existence is present within these two syllables, Krishna. So someone says, you know, I'm in Maya, I can't get out of Maya, I can't control my senses. I'm not strong enough to control my senses. Well, that's really a lame excuse. Because you have the most you have the full power of everything. Right there in Krishna. So this retreat now we want to go deeper into realizing this, you see. We can all say the holy name is all powerful. It's easy to say that. But how much have we actually realized the power of the name? We haven't realized much, you see. That's a fact. We're just beginning to realize it. So we want to accelerate all this retreat means we want to accelerate the realizations that each and every one of us has of the unlimited power of Krishna's holy name. Because if we can increase our realization even just a teeny weeny little bit, this will have a tremendous impact on our entire life. So we want that this retreat today will have a tremendous impact on the life of everyone who is participating in this retreat. We can gain more of an insight into what is this Krishna. So we'll look at some of these wonderful statements here. The verse is actually quite amazing. Great sages. Let's see, this is the same verse? Yeah. The verse gets switched here? Yeah, the verse was switched. Okay. This verse is saying immediately. Even by unconsciously chanting the name of Krishna. That has got to be really, really amazing. What is the proof? Do you know the story? Of the Urdu-speaking man. He was a Muslim. So, the Muslims, they don't take pork. They consider it to be condemned food. So in their language, what is the word for condemned food? It's called haram. Yeah, haram. So he was being killed by a wild boar in the forest. And, you know, who would be happy being killed by a wild boar, you know? You'd naturally be a little disturbed with this boar for killing you. So he wanted to say something bad about the boar as he was being killed by the boar. Haram! And he died. And what was the last syllable off of his lips? Ram. He got liberated. Was he a devotee? No. Did he know it was the name of God? No. Was he freed immediately? Yes, he was liberated just by saying haram. Now that's got to be really an amazing power, you know? If even a person who unconsciously chants Hare Krishna or Hare Ram, who doesn't even follow any regulated principles, can be liberated, then what is the position of someone who is following regulated principles and consciously trying to develop pure love for the name? What an amazing, amazing potency there must be, you see. And of course there's the story of Ajamila also. He was a young Brahmin boy, very pure young Brahmin boy. But one day his father sent him to gather firewood in the forest. And there, what did he see? It was like porno, somebody seeing porno on the internet for the first time. You know. He saw a Shudra couple sexually embracing in the forest with great passion and lust. And that image bewildered his mind. He knew this is very bad. I had to get over this contamination. This is polluting my consciousness. But it wouldn't go away. He had this image just kept sitting in his brain, this of this Shudra couple sexually embracing. He became possessed by this image. And he actually sought out that prostitute woman. He sought out her and got her as his servant in the house. He got rid of his wife, he got rid of his parents, he served that prostitute. All of her lusty desires, you see. For wealth and so many things. He became a criminal, he engaged in criminal activities to support this prostitute. He had many children by her also. And finally he's an old man now. He's 80 years old man. Again he had child. He was so lusty. Even at 80 years old he was having child. And he had, but because of his previous qualification of being that young Brahmin boy, he named his son Narayan. And when the Yamadutas came at the time of death to yank him out of the body, he was very fearful. So he was calling for his son, his affectionate son. He was always calling that son, you see. Because the youngest child is always the one's very affectionate towards the young child. He was always saying, Narayan, come here, Narayan this, Narayan that. He was accustomed to calling out his son, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. So now when the Yamadutas came, he's calling Narayan, Narayan. And the Yamadutas were there to take him away, but the Vishnudutas, because he had uttered Narayan, the Vishnudutas came, said, stop, you can't take him. He's chanted the name of Narayan. So here's another example of the great power of the name. So, what can we learn from this story? Why did he think to utter Narayan at the time of death? He was, because he was accustomed to calling his son Narayan. He was doing it all the time. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. So the point is, one should become accustomed to chanting Hare Krishna. Make it a habit. Because the more it becomes a habit, then it will happen. Come out of your lips automatically. And then when death comes, Krishna, you say, then you're okay. One time I was tested by my GBC man in Atlanta. It was my good fortune. I don't claim any exalted spiritual consciousness. But I was out, I was doing parikrama of the temple about 4 o'clock in the morning. And my GBC thought to play a trick on me. He hid by, just to test me. He hid around the corner of the building. And then when I approached that corner, he jumped out like he was some kind of a thief or a criminal. And he went, ah! He jumped out at me. And I went, Krishna! And he said, oh, you passed the test. So actually, I remember Vishnupriya Mataji and I, one time we had a test also. One time we were driving in a car. Now in Texas, we're not used to the snow and ice like you all are here in Lithuania. But we were in North Texas, where they get, sometimes they do get some snow and ice. And we had actually driven way up into what's called the Texas Panhandle to do some preaching, which is going way north in Texas. And a blizzard came in. Blizzard, like a snowstorm, you know? And so we were driving down the highway. It was a little divided highway with on-ramps and off-ramps. And there was so much snow that anybody who tried to get off of the road, they got stuck, you see. In other words, the road, because there was so much traffic on the road that it cleared the road to a certain extent. The road itself was okay, but you couldn't get off the road. Because the off-ramps were deep in snow. And we were wondering, oh, what happens when we run out of gas? We have, you know, we're okay now, but what, when we run out of gasoline, what will we do? But then there was, we were lucky there was a gas station right there on the road itself. So we were this way, we were making it through the blizzard and the safely on our way to back to Dallas, Texas. And then we finally got to near to Dallas. We thought, let's take a little, I don't know, it was a not a very good idea, but let's take a little back road to get there quicker. A back road. And sure enough, as soon as you got on that back road, it was a two-lane road. It had a bank on each side, a steep bank going off each side of the road like this. And when did we hit on that road? Pure ice. So we went into what's called a skid, you know. You go, you know. You just start. We were driving like this, you see, driving up the road. And then it went into a spin, The car went like this. It would spin. Here's the front of the car, here's the back of the car. It went into a spin like this. And then it went like this and went flying off the bank backwards. So Manaji and I knew this is it. We're going to leave our bodies now. It's all over. We're flying through the air in a little tiny Toyota car, you know. We're flying through the air. As soon as we're going to crash, we're probably going to crash and we'll be killed, you know. We'll be smashed on the windshield. We'll be blood. We'll be dead. It's all over, you know. So Manaji was going, Hare Krishna! And I was going, Nishringa Day! And the most amazing thing happened. There was so much snow that it made a pillow. And the car just landed in this pillow of snow. The snow absorbed all the shock. There was no. We didn't bang our heads. We didn't cut ourselves. The car wasn't damaged. It was just. It's like nothing even happened. We just laid down gently in a pillow. So we see that Krishna was testing us if we can utter his name at that last moment. So this is. We have to practice like this, you see. So when we do face a situation, and we can utter the name of Krishna, and we'll be on the safe side. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chirjanyante kalevaram tam tam me vaiti konteya sadatad bhavabhavata. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail, O son of Kunti. So we have to practice to keep Krishna present in every minute. And Krishna is fully available. The name of Krishna is Krishna. So if you're chanting Hare Krishna, then you're with Krishna. You may say, well, that, I don't feel Krishna is present. It's just like a mechanical thing for me. Just got to, you know, I have to do it, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But even that unconscious chanting where you're not really conscious is still beneficial. But if you will remind yourself that Krishna and his name are the same, that Krishna is personally present when I utter his name, then the benefit will be 10 times more, 100 times more, 1,000 times more. So, therefore, Prabhupada advises when we chant Hare Krishna, try to feel the presence of Krishna. And if you can't do that, Prabhupada says, then fix your mind on the sound of the name. So as confirmed in this verse, we are directly associating with God when we chant his name. Prabhupada says there is no difference at all. So just see what a blessing we have. Just consider where we were before we started chanting Hare Krishna. How much in the darkness of ignorance we were. Before we got this magic mantra, it is God Himself, you see. It is mentioned in many places in the Vedas. It is not some new invention. In many places, Hare Krishna is mentioned in the Vedic literature. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the very source of the Vedic wisdom, Krishna Himself. Vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham. Krishna says, I am the, by all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. That very person who is himself the Vedic wisdom, himself, Krishna. Krishna is the Vedic wisdom personified. Vedic wisdom is coming from Krishna. Vedic wisdom is the way to get to Krishna. So that very Vedic wisdom personified appeared 500 years ago as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, Nam Namakari Bahunad Nija Sharva Shaktis. There are millions of names of God, and they all have the potency to liberate you. But what name did he chant? What example did he set? Did he chant Allah Akbar? Or praise Jesus? No, he chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we can learn from this. We are not chanting Hare Krishna because we are Hare Krishnas. As some blind cult members. We are chanting Hare Krishna because, scientifically speaking, this is the most powerful, effective means of liberating one's consciousness from the clutches of the material nature. Hare Krishna works. I know, I had other gurus before I had Prabhupada. I had one guru, his name was Maharishi. I was his initiated disciple. And I was given one mantra. Aing, 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 aing. And I was told to do it 20 minutes twice a day. You see. It's part of the Vedas, actually. Like we say, Aing Gurave Nama in the Gayatri Mantra. It's a bona fide mantra, Aing. But because it was not coming from a guru who's in the Sampradaya, the authorized Vaishnava Sampradaya, that mantra was not effective. This is the statement of Vedic wisdom. Sampradaya Vahinaye Mantrashte Nishpalamata. If the mantra you have received is not coming in disciplic succession, Nishpal, no fruit, no result. So, by receiving this mantra in the succession, the unbroken line of succession coming from Krishna, the mantra is imbued with great spiritual power. And especially this Hare Krishna mantra has all potency, all power, full energy to awaken us from our sleeping condition. Yeah. Lord Chaitanya is encouraging us to use chant. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bole, Kota Nrija Jao Maya, Pisachira Kole. He's imploring us to chant Hare Krishna Mantra. Wake up from the sleeping condition within the modes of nature. So if we will seriously take this chanting process, Hare Krishna Mantra, we will realize God in due course. We are already associating with God by chanting Hare Krishna. And gradually we will realize how it is that we are associating with God. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Nanda Shakti, Ashta Shakti.
Pastebėjau, kad kai būnu tarp katalikų, tai kai kažkas nesiseka, kažkas tokio netikėta, tai aš šaukiu ne Krišna vardą, bet Jėzų, o Jėzau. Tai yra, kaip tarp katalikų būnu. Toks poreikis. Tai jeigu taip pasitiks mirties, tada mes
then I am in Christian surrounding, then in some danger I am chanting, oh Jesus Christ, and I don't know why. And what will happen if I will chant Jesus Christ in the time of death?
You go to Jesus Christ. So better to chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said that Jesus Christ's planet is actually a heavenly planet in the material world. In one place he said like that. So the best thing is to chant Krishna. Better be safe than sorry. Actually the word Christ is an etymological derivation from the word Krishna anyway. It comes from the Greek word Christos. Greek is derived from Sanskrit. It comes from the Sanskrit word Krista, which is another way of saying Krishna. So I would advise you to chant Hare Krishna in all circumstances. You may say you're in a Christian atmosphere. But I say go deeper. Because this whole material world is a Krishna atmosphere. Yamang pashyati sarvatas sarvang chamai pashyati tashahang na samasta nich satchamena pranashyati. Krishna says, for one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So Krishna is present in every atmosphere. Externally, it may appear to be a Christian atmosphere or a Muslim atmosphere or an atheistic atmosphere. You should not be a person who is influenced by your atmosphere. That's weak. You should not be a weak person. You know that whatever atmosphere, that means you'll eat hamburgers if you're with hamburger eaters. You see. Don't be influenced by your atmosphere. That's not good. You have to understand, I've taken a vow to chant the Hare Krishna Mantra and absorb my whole life in the Hare Krishna Mantra. So when they're chanting Krishna, Krishna, Christ, you know, hallelujah, hallelujah, you can be thinking Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And so what is the value of their modern-day Christianity anyway? They're killing the cows. You see? These Christians are running big, big slaughterhouses all over the world. And so their religion is materialistic. They approach God to fulfill their material desires. Of course, it's better than atheism. But it's not pure bhakti. So their chanting is impure. Even they're chanting Christ's name, it's not pure because they are chanting for material desire fulfillment. So if you're chanting Christ and the association of Christians, that their chanting is impure, your chanting is also impure. So you should remain fixed in chanting Krishna. Where do you associate with the Christians? At work?
Būtent išlikusi pasąmonė, kad kai sunku, tai šaukis Jėzus. Va, ne Krišna, bet Jėzus. Asociacija labai stipri.
Just it is like a common saying in our country that if you're some danger, you say, oh, Jesus Christ, and it's come to my mind just and it's unconsciously I'm saying sometimes like this.
You need to chant Hare Krishna more. Krishna, you're chanting Hare Krishna. You should be calling the name of Krishna when there's danger. Because there's more power there. It's good you're chanting Jesus Christ. He's a pure devotee. But it's better you chant Krishna. Because there's more power in this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra than any other name. Next question.
Yeah. Kaip priežodį naudojam tokius dažnai, net nepagalvojam, ką tai reiškia. Koks, kas yra geriau iš tikrųjų?
For example, this Ajamila, he was saying the name from the heart. Even he was calling his son, but he is telling from the heart. And sometimes we chanting just like without any feeling. So what is a better way?
Chanting with feeling, Prabhupada said. Like a child crying for the mother.
Bet kas iš tokio kartojimo, kai mes kaip priežodį vartojam, Hare Krishna sako, Hare Bol, tam Jėzus Marija, nu, kaip minėjo, nu, tokie gamos, nu, tiesiog, ar čia grinai švento vardo įžeidimas, ar kas?
But when we chanting without just sometimes we say, oh, Hare Bol, or oh, Jesus Christ, Hare Krishna, without any feelings, it is not offensive, just chanting, just...
No, the more you utter the name is good. Sometimes in a very meditative way, one may call Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Sometimes you just go, Hare Krishna, and greet a devotee, you know. That's not so good. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
See, it's also good. You're a kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. It's also good. Your japa, try to do it with great feeling, intensity. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But you can chant all day long. Chant when you're cutting vegetables, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Chant when you're taking a shower, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Chant all day long, Prabhupada said. Chant when you're walking down the street. Chant when you're riding the bus. Chant when you're laying down to take breath. Prabhupada said, you chant all the time. The more we chant, the better, you see. Sometimes you do it with great intensity of feeling for your japa. But other times you do it just to keep yourself connected with the name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Always fill in every gap with Krishna consciousness. So there's not a moment in your 24 hours you're disconnected from Krishna. And this Hare Krishna mantra is one of the easiest things to use to fill in every second with Krishna consciousness. Any other question? Yeah.
Mokytoja norėjo paklausti, čia atvažiavo vienas prabu iš Indijos ir jisai sakė, kad į vyresniuosius atsidavusius tarytum nepagarbu kreiptis Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, kaip sveikinantis. Dėl to, kad tai yra tarytum paskatinimas tam vyresniam, kad jisai kartuotų šventus vardus. Ar tai kaip galėtų pakomentuoti tai mokytojas?
One devotee said that it is a little bit offensive to older, say, Hari Bol, to older devotee.
It's offensive to only say Hari Bol?
To say Hari Bol to older devotees, senior devotee, to say Hari Bol.
Senior devotee?
To senior devotee, to say to senior devotee, Hari Bol is offensive.
It's offensive to say Hari Bol to the senior devotee. Hari Bol means chant the holy names. You're giving an instruction, actually. Hari Bol, chant the holy name. You don't tell a superior to do anything. So in that sense, it would be a little bit awkward etiquette to say Hari Bol to the senior Vaishnava. If you hear what Prabhupada would say when he was doing things, you look on the conversations, Prabhupada will say Hare Krishna as a greeting to someone. He never said Hare Bol to anyone. We saw anywhere. This is the Hare Krishna movement. It's not the Hare Bol movement. I mean, Hare Bol is okay, but I remember I went to Vrindavan one time during Kartik, you know. I noticed all the buddies, they say, Hare Bol! Hare Bol! Hare Bol! Hare Bol! It's all you'd hear. I said, is anybody ever going to say Hare Krishna, you know? I was wondering. Because Prabhupada would use Hare Krishna as a greeting, not Hare Bol. I mean, it's not some hard and fast rule, you know, you can't say Hare Bol, Prabhu. No, it's not like that. But this is the Hare Krishna movement. And Hari Bol is saying, chant the name of Hari. That's what you're saying. So if someone says Hari Bol to me, what's the proper response? You've said to me, chant the name of Hari. So the response would be, Hare Krishna. If you say, chant the name of Hari to me, and I say, chant the name of Hari back to you, then, you know, I didn't follow your instruction. You told me to chant the name of Hari, And I told you to chant the name of Hari. So who's going to chant the name of Hari? We're all telling each other to chant the name of Hari, but no one's doing it. We're all just telling everybody to do it. So I say Hare Krishna. Yeah. When others go Hari Bol, I go Hare Krishna. But Hari Bol is okay. I mean, there's no rule against Hari Bol, but Hare Krishna should be more prominent. Yeah.
To say to a senior devotee, it's disrespectful just to say Hari Bol.
It's what?
Disrespectful.
That's what I said. I already made that point.
You said that
you're giving him instruction. It's not proper.
Not because giving an instruction, it sounds very casual.
Casual. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I was making the same point. You just used it, made it a little more powerful, my point. Next question. Yeah.
Ką daryti, kai klausant paskaitą viduje kyla kažkoks nepasitenkinimas arba kritika?
What to do? Sometimes when we listen to the class, we sometimes feel some criticism inside or dissatisfaction what we hear. So what to do with these feelings?
You should raise your hand and discuss the point that disturbs your mind. Did I say something today that disturbed your mind?
About this Jesus Christ, is there any difference between Jesus Christ Loka and Krishna Loka?
I recently found a quote in the Veda base. The Prabhupada wrote a letter to Bhagavan Das. And Prabhupada said that his place is the heavenly planet in the material world. That is what Prabhupada said. It was news to me. I'd never heard that. I always thought it was the spiritual world. But I'm just repeating what Prabhupada had said in that letter. So if you want, I can show you the exact quote in the Veda base. So the question is, was he stating something absolute, or he's just taking that, well, it could be. We have to look at the letter and see. Because the fact is that Jesus Christ is a pure devotee. And we would expect then that he would go back to this, he would be in the spiritual world. Because he is a pure devotee, he's confirmed by Srila Prabhupada. He's a pure Vaishnava. So it's interesting that Prabhupada would say that the Christians go to a heavenly planet. Whether Christ is there or not is another matter, but in this sense we can understand that if someone is pious and they're God conscious, but they still have material desires, they don't go to the spiritual world. Do you understand that point? Someone is very pious, they're religious, but they still have desires for material sense gratification. Such a person can attain a heavenly planet, they won't go back to the spiritual world. That may have been the point that Prabhupada was making when he made that comment. But to say that you have the devotion to Christ will not take you back to God, and I wouldn't say that. Because Christ is a pure devotee. And anybody who follows him purely, without any material motives, they will attain the spiritual world. So I'm happy that you raised it. Now, is that cleared up for you?
Okay.
This is a very good example. I appreciate what this Prabhu has done. If you hear something in a class that doesn't make sense to you, you're confused by it, you think maybe it's wrong, then you should raise the question. This is a educational institution. We're all meant to develop a very solid, mature, high-level understanding of Vaishnava Siddhanta. That means that something is confusing to you, you need to raise the question so the confusion is cleared up. Everyone needs to do this. This is what Arjuna did. He was very confused by Krishna's instruction. And he had a discussion with Krishna. And after the discussion, all his confusion was gone. So if you're ever confused by a point that's raised in the class, then you should raise the point during the class itself, if at all possible. So that everything becomes clear. Any more questions?
Dėl Kristaus dar norėjau pasitikslinti, kada Kristus buvo nukryžiuotas, jeigu aš teisingai atsimenu, skaičiau Naują Testamentą, jisai kreipėsi Viešpatė, kodėl tu palikai mane, kur tu esi dabar, paskutinė savo gyvenimo akimirką, kodėl jisai materialioje visatoje liko.
If I remember correctly, when Jesus Christ was crucified and he was dying, his words was, why, Lord, why you left me? Alone. Why he was feeling alone?
I don't remember. I'm not sure. Are you sure? I don't know if that's a bona fide quote that Jesus actually said that. Do you know for sure that Christ actually said it? Prabhupada one time said the Bible was not spoken by Jesus Christ, it was manufactured by this and that. So I don't, somebody may have added that. That may not be the actual words of Christ.
So in the Bible is written.
It may be an addition. Is it in all five Gospels or only one of the Gospels? Which book is it in? Which book of the Bible is it stated in? All right. I'm just saying that we can't take... Prabhupada told us the Bible is not fully authoritative. We don't know for sure that Christ actually said them. It doesn't make sense that he would say such a thing. It would mean that he's become overtaken by Maya. God, why have you forsaken me? It doesn't make sense that he would say that. He's fully God-realized soul. He knows that everything is happening by the Lord's arrangement. Or it could be seen as some idea. We don't know if it's true or not, so it's hard to really comment on it authoritatively. Anything else?
Gurudev, just on this topic about Jesus, I feel that Krishna can empower his devotee to serve in hell if necessary, to remain in the material world to serve. So that's my answer to Krishna. I don't
Say it louder.
Yeah, that Krishna can empower his devotees to remain in the material world,
yeah,
for the purpose of preaching.
Yeah.
So that's what I say to Christians.
He could say, "Why have you forsaken me?" Why would he say that?
Why Jesus is on in a material heavenly planet?
Oh, the heavenly planet thing. Yeah, that may be, but no, that's not his point. The previous point. Okay. Yeah.
Gali būti, kad Jėzus Kristus Dievo tarnavė Dievui būtent yra paliktas kažkokiai materialioji planetoj būti, dėl to, kad tarnystė kažkokia.
There could be a planet where Christians, very pure, strict Christians, could go and get further training by Jesus. Then it's possible.
Yeah.
Next question. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, why do we say that the Vedas came 5,000 years ago?
Kodėl mes klausim, sakome, kad Vedas grįžo, atsirado prieš 5,000 jau visų savo.
Why we are telling that Vedas came 5,000 years before it, if it was always?
What was?
Vedas came 5,000 years before.
The Vedas?
Yeah, we're telling like this, but Vedas was always.
Now the Vedas were written down 5,000 years ago.
Yeah, Vedas buvo užrašytos prieš.
Before that, they were going on an oral tradition. They come from the very beginning of the universe. Tene brahma hridaya dikhavaye mayante yatsuyaha. The Vedic wisdom was imparted to Krishna from the heart of Brahmanji at the very beginning of the universe. $155 trillion years ago, the Vedic knowledge was introduced in this universe. Not 5,000. 5,000 years ago, it was written down. That's all. Any other questions?
Vedos ir rašant irgi galėjo būti kažkokios klaidos. Kaip jūs minėjot, kad užrašinėjant Bibliją. Tai čia to visur klysta žmonės. Tai kaip šitas? Ir mes turim aklai tikėti tai, kad
how to be sure that while was Vedas is written, also there was no some mistakes?
The Vedas?
Yes.
There are three ways of knowing what is. There's a three-way check and balance system and know things as they are. Guru, Shastra, and Sadhus. If the Sadhus and the Guru confirm the legitimacy of scripture, then it is accepted. If the scripture and the sadhus confirm who is the bona fide guru, then that is accepted. So in this way, we understand. For us, because Prabhupada confirmed the validity, the authenticity of the Vedic scripture, and the authority of Srila Prabhupada, we accept it. Or one could say, well, what if Prabhupada was wrong? How will I really know? I'll give you the answer. By Prabhupada is giving a roadmap. The Vedas are a roadmap, okay? And Prabhupada has given us this roadmap. That it will take you to Krishna, Loka. So how can you really check out the roadmap to see if it's accurate or not? If you follow it, and you find yourself in Krishna Loka, well, this is really bona fide, it got me to Krishna Loka, you know. So one who has faith, he will accept it on the words of the spiritual master. But if one is still skeptical, we say, why don't you take a gamble? Give your whole life to following this pathway. and see where you end up at the end. If you end up with Krishna, then it's confirmed it's bona fide. If you end up in Patala Loka, you know it's not. So I challenge you to follow these instructions of Srila Prabhupada very seriously and carefully. And I can assure you, if you do so, you'll meet Krishna face to face. And there'll be no question of skepticism when you see Krishna. Yeah.
What would be the result if you chant Radhe Radhe?
If one chants Radhe Radhe, then he's not following the spiritual master. The ten namaparads given in the scriptures are that one has to obey the spiritual master. There's prescribed method for awakening the Krishna consciousness within one's heart. Of course, Radhe Radhe is nice. We sometimes say Radhe Radhe. But when in the Vrijabhasis would say Radhe Radhe to Prabhupada, you know what he would respond? Hare Krishna. Because Radha doesn't like to be alone. If you just say Radhe Radhe, then Radharani is alone with no Krishna. She's not happy being alone. She always wants to be combined with her Krishna. So when you chant Hare Krishna, you're combined. Hare refers to Radharani. So your address is Radharani. When you chant Hare Krishna, you're combining, you're putting Krishna and Radharani together. Your Radhe Radhe, it keeps Radharani separate from Krishna. It doesn't please Radharani, it doesn't please Krishna. So follow the Acharya Marg, not the Sahaja Marg. And chant Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Is it more purifying to chant very clearly to ourselves so that we can hear our japa? Or is it better to chant in the association with other devotees where we're hearing everyone's chanting all at once?
Very interesting question. Is it better to chant alone where you can distinctly hear every syllable that you're vibrating on your lips, or is it better to chant in the room where you just hear this buzz, you know, like a beehive? The best thing is to, Prabhupada said every syllable should be distinctly chanted and heard. Now you can do that alone or in a group. Either way, that's how you get the benefit. You have to hear. The main thing is you have to hear your chanting. Kirtan is for hearing the group. Japa is for hearing yourself. The reason, especially for new devotees, the group is important is because otherwise they'll sleep. We had to bring all the young devotees should all chant together to make sure they're actually chanting and not sleeping. I remember years ago, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, when he had the Radhadamodara party. He had all these young raw recruits, you know, chanting japa. All kinds of japa. He put on headphones to chant his japa. So he could hear his own japa nicely. So the most important thing is you have to hear your own rounds. You see. The most important thing. But the group is good because that helps us to helps us not to go to sleep. Because someone will wake us up, Prabhu, you're sleeping, wake up. So that's the advantage of chanting with the company of others. They can keep, they help us stay awake. You don't need to focus on hearing their japa. That's kirtan. Japa is when you focus on your chanting.
So we're hearing someone else's japa just inadvertently, and it's not very clear. Should we?
If you're hearing someone else's japa?
Yeah, if we notice that someone else's japa is not very clear, should we correct them?
Jeigu mes pastebėjom, kad kažkas kartuoja džiapą nelabai raiškiai, mes turim juos pataisyti.
Actually, that is the duty of senior devotees and of equal devotees to help each other and to help the juniors to become proper in their Krishna conscious practice.
Vyresnių ir mums lygių atsidavusių pareiga mus pataisyti, kad mes to.
So one should, if one sees that one is, because japa chanting is very important, if one sees that one is not chanting properly, one should point it out.
Tad jeigu matote, kad kažkada japa netinkama, jūs turite pataisyti.
That's kindness. Next question. Sharanagata.
Aš girdėjau du būdus, kad kartojam džiapą. Pavyzdžiui, vieni kirčiuoja, čia svarbu. Vieni kirčiuoja Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, o kiti Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Kuris teisingas? Ar čia nesvarbu?
There is two types of pronouncing Hare. You can pronounce Hare or Hare. So is there some difference or no?
Ha, Hare. It's Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare.
Hare.
Is this very important? How are we chanting? Or Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Or Hare Krishna.
Well, there is a standard way to do it. So one should follow the standard. But even if you don't have it perfectly, the mood is more important than the exact Sanskrit pronunciation. Just like the Chinese people, they don't pronounce R. So sometimes they will go, you know, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Lama, Hare Lama, Lama Lama, Hare Hare. But Krishna understands. And also the Spanish people, they don't pronounce the J, you see. So they would go Yaya Yaganath, Yaya Yaganath, Yaya Yaganath, Yaya Yaganath. So Krishna understand. Main thing is you sincerely chant to the best of your ability with love, and Krishna will understand.
We are sincere, wouldn't we like to do it correctly?
Come again?
If we are sincere, wouldn't we want to do it
correctly? Yes, you should do it as correctly as you can. But there are certain subtleties that are like the actual N in Krishna. There's very little, you really get out of the subtleties. There's very few of us who may do it perfectly. Yeah. Everyone should try to do it properly.
It's okay.
To the best of your ability. And then that's love, you see. Just like if you make friends with somebody, you try to pronounce their name correctly. That shows you care about them. If you keep mispronouncing their name, I mean, you know, they'll think, well, how much does this person really care about me? So we should show Krishna that we really care by, you know, pronouncing his name best we can. And Radharani addressing her, same thing. Okay, we'll go ahead and stop here. Okay, we'll meet again here for another wonderful study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This was the first canto. Now we're going to jump to the second canto and hear more wonderful descriptions about the chanting of the holy name from Srila Prabhupada in the second canto of the Bhagavad.
Taigi,
Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai Srimad Sankarsana Dikari Maharaja ki jai.